Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Pei Beis. We left off on daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis. We are at Uparas Chatas, three lines from the end of the page on daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas's mother, Kol the Basimcha Shalom, the Neshama Shavna Leo. We thank him for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. Also, once again, I want to thank Alicia Kraft for covering the daf Yomi Shir for the past 4 weeks while I was in Camp Kaylee, and in advance for all the other times that he's going to be covering the shir over the course of the summer, and also to Rabbi Wechselbaum and to Michael for also covering the shir while I was away. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. First, we're going to discuss whether Parah Aduma and Egla Rufa are considered to be a Shechita Shein Ru'uya. The Mishnah said that they seem to be considered a Shechita Shein Ru'uya because you're not allowed to eat the Parah Aduma or the Egla Rufa, but the Gemara is going to conclude that in fact both of those are in the Mishnah, they are bad examples of a shechita she'ena ru'uya. Then the Mishnah, the first Mishnah on Amud Aleph, is going to discuss which buyer gets the right to shecht on the day of the purchase, meaning a mocher behemos sells the mother and the offspring, so which of the buyers gets to shecht the animal that day? They might both want to shecht that day. Then the next Mishnah is going to discuss shechting the mother of two different the mother and two of its different offspring, or three generations of behemos on the same day. How many malchios do you get? Do you get one malchus or two malchios? And depends on the order with which you shecht the different animals. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how we know that Osa Vesmano applies even when you shecht the offspring first, that it's regardless of the order of it. It doesn't have to be Osa Vesmano, it's Beno the Oso as well. And then the majority of Unbez is going to be about multiple malchios for one maisa iser. That after all, the Mishnah talks about shechting the grandma, the granddaughter, and then the middle generation. So it's one maisa iser of the middle generation and getting multiple malchios. And we're going to spend a good deal of time trying to figure out how we know that sumchus holds that you're chayiv shtei malchios even when they are not gufim muchlakim, when it's not different bodies upon which you violated the different isurim. So we're going to have three rayos that sumchus in fact holds that there are shtei malchios even when it's not gufim muchlakim, and that will bring us all the way to the Mishnah on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. So let us begin three lines from the end of the page on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis. So we said in the Mishnah that if you shecht a para aduma, that is a shechita she'ena ru'uya, and therefore is not subject to oso ve'espino. So uparas chata shechita she'ena ru'uya. But is that true that when you shecht a para aduma, that's called a shechita she'ena ru'uya va'atanya? But don't we have a brisa when it talks about the tumah of the basar of a para aduma after it is shechted? The Rabbi Shimon holds that isurei anah like a shor niskal and peter chamar are not mekabel tumah. They're not mekabel tumah sochlin because they're not ro'i la'achila. And the pasuk by tumah sochlin says mikol ochel asher yeochel, that it has to be something that's ro'i la'achila, that only something that you can feed to other people is considered an ochel with regard to tumah sochlin. But nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon omer para metame tumah sochlin. If you shecht a para aduma, it actually is metame tumas ochlin. That if sheretz touches the basar of a para aduma, and that basar goes and touches ochel, becomes tamei. Hol v'haisala shasa kosher. Since after you shechted the para aduma, it still could be eaten. It's not yet aser ba'ana until you do the sreifa of the para aduma. The amma, and what's the shasa kosher? When were you allowed to eat it? From Reb Shimon Lakish, Omer Reb Shimon, para nifte salgabe marachta, that a para aduma can become chulin by being pota it, even if you shechted it on the marecha shaleitzim that a para aduma is supposed to be shechted on. It could still be, you could still be pota it, and therefore it could still be subject to tumas ochlin. So even though you're not pota it at the end, so it was never really roi la'achila, Rabbi Shimon holds anything that's omed lihi pados, we view it as if it was already padui, and therefore it has a shem ochel. So when it comes to the Isra of Osel Vespino, we should be chayv, because it should be considered a shchita ru'uya. So because it is something that theoretically, had you been poda it, you would have been able to eat it. So how come in our Mishnah we say that Rabbi Shimon patters Mishum Osel Vespino when you shechta paraduma on account of it being a shchita she'ein ru'uya? It seems that it's in fact a shchita ru'uya. That is the Gemara's kasha. Now, the idea that we're saying that a para aduma can have tumas ochlin would seem to have very little nafgamina, because a para aduma, even if it doesn't have tumas ochlin, it's a para aduma. So it's metame adam ubegadim, even if it's not mekabel tum for something else. I mean, to have tumas ochlin means to say that it's eligible to become tame from something else. A sheretz touches it, it can become tame. It's a para aduma. It's tame anyway. So it's metame the person that handles it, and it's metame the begadim. So that's what the Rishonim point out. Rashi points out that there is a nafkamina. Let's say you have a piece of dough that alone doesn't have a shir kabeitza, which is the shir of Kabbalah's tumah for tumas ochlin, touching or connected with the basar of the para aduma, and other food touches that dough. Had it not been an ochel, it would not be mitzarif together with that dough. It's only because it has a shem ochel that it's mitzarif to the shir kabeitza, and therefore that dough is mekabel tumah, and someone who eats that dough is going to be able to become tamei. Say Rechnami, the para aduma itself, the basar itself, you're not really adding any tumah by saying it's mekabel tumas ochlin, but that which connects to it, you make a franken blanket with a para aduma, so that dough itself becomes tamei tumas ochlin because of its connection to the para aduma. That's how Rashi writes. Tosu says that the para itself is not metame if a person if it touches a person begadim, it's by negia. It's only mitame if you're zorek or no say. So it has it has different rules of tuma than when it comes to tumas ochlin. Now, why is it that you're allowed to be that anyone would ever be poda a para aduma? You found a perfectly good para aduma and you shechter al gabe ma'aracha. So someone's going to be poda it. You know how valuable para aduma is. So the Mishnah Maseches Para says matzach eres na'im. Yeah, you found a nicer one. Meaning it's a long shot, but if you find a nicer para aduma, maybe they'll figure out how to perfectly genetically, they're working on it, genetically engineer para aduma, so you can find an even better para aduma. So then they may want to be poda that para aduma. The Gemara in Shavuos Daf Yud Aleph says that since para aduma is kache bedekabayis, it doesn't have kedusha saguf, so you could be poda it. And Rabbi Shimon holds kache bedekabayis doesn't even require hamada v'haracha. You don't even need to stand the animal up on its feet and the kohen to assess it in such a way. So therefore, if it's shechted, you could still be poda it. Even after the shechita, you could be poda it. You can't do a hamada v'aracha on a behema that's already shechted, but this doesn't require hamada v'aracha. But anyway, bottom line is, our question is, how come in our Mishnah we're saying that para adum is a shechita shein ruya, and therefore it's not subject to osav espino? Rabbi Shimon's shechita is that it is a shechita ruya, at least the gabi tumas ochlin, and therefore should be subject to osav espino as well. Say, answer Gemara, Amar Rav Shimon bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Paraschata, say the Mishnah, Einachinami, you need to take the example of para aduma out of our Mishnah, because Rabbi Shimon would be moda that you'd be chayiv for osav espino on the para aduma. The para aduma would have to be the beno, not the oso, because it wouldn't be eligible to be para aduma if it were if it had offspring. But you wouldn't be chayiv for para aduma. You would be chayiv osav espino for para aduma because it is in fact a shechita ruya. So now the Gemara says, okay, let's attack another one of the examples that the Mishnah gave. The egla arufa lav shechita ruya, is an egla arufa not a shechita ruya? Vatanan, but doesn't the Mishnah tell us in Masechta Sota when it comes to egla arufa that if a person was miyached an egla la arifa that nimsa hore gatchelo tearef ha egla, that if you find the murderer before the egla arufa happens, egla arufa is because we find a dead body and we have no idea who the murderer is, so this is the best way that we could do to achieve kapara. But if you find the actual murderer and you can bring him to justice before you ever do the arifa, So the Egla goes and becomes like a regular behemah schulin that you don't need to do an arifa sa'egla, because it was only there to be mechaper for a suffix, because you didn't know who the murderer was. So you see, the bottom line is that it doesn't become masr bahanah until you do the actual arifa. So if you were to shecht it before doing an arifa instead of doing an arifa, that l'chor is a shechita ru'uya, it would be mutaris ba'achila. So how come Rabbi Shimon says that it's patur from Moshe Vespino on account of being a shechita she'ein ru'uya? You see that in fact it is a shechita ru'uya. So Rabbi Shimon Lakash, Bishum Rabbi Yanai, egla rufa in the Mishnah, that you got to take egla rufa out of our Mishnah, b'gzein achinami. It is a shechita ru'uya, and Rabbi Shimon would be moda that you're chayv, Mishum, v'osov Vespino. Now there is a machlokas tanoim seches krisos, whether an egla rufa is asr mechayim, but the Tana of our Mishnah apparently does not hold that it's asr mechayim. The Tosus points out, because they had a Kabbalah biyadam, that we shouldn't have egla rufa in our Mishnah. Meaning, the Gemara, what Tosus is saying is, the Gemara could have given a different answer, that there is another shita in Tanaim, that an egla rufa is asr even before the arifa, that while it's alive, it becomes asr bana, in which case, it's a shechita shein ruya. But they must have had a Kabbalah that egla rufa doesn't belong in our Mishnah, so they figured out a way to make that Kabbalah correct. So if you assume that our Mishnah goes like the Shita, that an egla rufa is not Nesar Mechaim, that it only becomes Aser after the Arifa, so then it doesn't belong in our Mishnah, and we could justify that Kabbalah to erase egla rufa from our Mishnah. Tosa Rash suggests a little differently, that it can't be that our Mishnah is assuming like the Tana, that it's Nesar Mechaim, because the rule is that Halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. So if egla arufa were mentioned in our Stam Mishnah, it would mean that our Stam Mishnah is saying that an egla arufa is asr mechayim. But the Stam Mishnah Masechta Sota holds that an egla arufa is not asr mechayim. So we'd rather not generate a machlokas between two Stam Mishnayas. So the only way to reconcile the two Stam Mishnayas is by changing the words in our Mishnah, by taking egla arufa out of the of our Mishnah as one of the examples of a shechita she'en ru'uya. So ask the Gemara, Umiyam Rabbi Yanai Hachi? Does Rabbi Yanai really hold that an egla arufa is mutter while it's alive up until the time of the arifa, and therefore it's considered a shechita ru'uya? V'amar Rabbi Yanai, didn't Rabbi Yanai tell us about egla arufa, that gavul shamati ba v'shachachti, that I heard that at some point, I know of that there was some point in the process where it becomes asr bahana, that's prior to the arifa, but I don't remember exactly what that point was. And the other Bnei Yeshiva told me, that when you bring it down to the Nachal Eson, that's when it becomes Aser. So prior to the Arifa, but if what we're saying is correct, that Rabbi Yanai holds that it becomes Aser while it's alive at the time you bring it down to the Nachal Eson, so when he's bothered from our Mishnah, where it says that it becomes Aser Mechayim, and it's therefore a Shechita Shein Ruya, that's against the Mishnah in Sota that says it does not become Aser Mechayim, why does he have to answer that egla rufa is ein a mishnah? Lishni kan kodim yirida, kan liachar yirida. He should have been able to answer quite simply that when do we consider it to be a shechita ru'uya? That's prior to yirida l'nachal eson, when it's still mutar ba'ana. After yirida l'nachal eson, it's asr ba'ana. At that point, it would be a shechita she'ein a ru'uya. Samra Pinchas Breid Ravami Anan Mishmei Rabbi Shimon Melakish Masinula. We learn that Egla Rufa in a Mishnah. That we learn in the name of Shimon Melakish that Egla Rufa is in a Mishnah. Not that Rabbi Yanai is the one that said it. Sayin Achinami, Rabbi Yanai could have reconciled the two Mishnayos, the one here and the one in Sota, quite simply by saying Kan Kodam Yiridil Nachleisan Kan Liachar Yiridil Nachleisan, because the Taka does become Asur Bahana at some point prior to the Arifa. But Rabbi Shimon Melakish does not hold it becomes Asr Bahana prior to the Arifa, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon Melakish, we have to remove Egla Arufa as an example from our Mishnah. Some Rav Ashi, Ki Avin and Beir Rav Papi, when we were in Rav Papi's Beis Medrash, Kashulan, we were bothered by the following. Mi Amar Rabbi Shimon Melakish Hachi? Does Rabbi Shimon Melakish really hold that an Egla Arufa does not become Asr Bahana while it's still alive, that it's only at the time of the Arifa that it becomes Asr Ba'ana, and therefore it's a Shechita Ru'uya if you were to shecht it. Va'itmar, but didn't we learn that Tzipori Mitzora? If you have the two birds that a Mitzora brings in this Tara process, one of them is shechted and one of them is sent away. Me'im Asayin Esarin, when do they become Asr Ba'ana? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mishas Shechita, it's only from the time that that you shecht it for the one that you shecht, and the one that you send away never becomes Asr Ba'ana. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar, but Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, Mishas Lekicha, from when you take the two birds for the sake of a Mitzora. Va'amin, my time is Rabbi Shimon Lakish, and we say, where does Rabbi Shimon Lakish get the idea that they both become Asr Mechayim, Gomar, Kicha, Kicha Me'egla Arufa? He learns it from the Lashon of Kicha, that you have both by Tzipori Mitzora and by Egla Arufa. By Egla Arufa, the Torah says, V'lakchu Zikne Irihi Eglas Bakar, and by Tzipori Mitzora, it says, V'lakach Lamitar Shtei Tzipor M'chayis Taros. So just like by Egla Arufa, it's Aser Mei Chayim, so to Tzipori Mitzora, become Aser Mei Chayim. So you see that according to Reish Lakish, Egla Arufa is apparently Aser not only at the time of Arifa, even while it's still alive. And therefore, if you were to shecht the Egla Arufa, it's a shechita she'ena ru'uya. So how come Reish Lakish had to remove Egla Arufa from our Mishnah? Egla Arufa fits very nicely in the Mishnah. It's a shechita she'ena ru'uya. So Elam Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Egla Arufa Eina Mishnah. It's not Rabbi Shimon Lakish that said it. It's not Rabbi Yanai that said it. It's Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yochanan that said it. That Egla Rufa is Eina Mishnah. But Eina Chinami, both according to Reish Lakish, as well as according to Rabbi Yanai, Egla Rufa becomes Asa Mechayim, and since it becomes Asa Mechayim, it's a Shechita She'eina Ru'uya. So when our Mishnah is giving a list of things that are Shechita She'eina Ru'uya, and therefore not subject to Osav Espino, according to Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Egla Rufa belongs on the list. It's only Rabbi Yochanan who removes Egla Arufa from the list. Now it's interesting that we said that Rabbi Shimon Lakish learns that Mishas Lekicha of the Tzipori Mitzora becomes Asr Ba'ana, because we learn Kicha Kicha from Egla Arufa. Well, when does Egla Arufa become Asr Ba'ana? So the Egla Arufa is not Mishas Lekicha, it's Mishas Yiridel Nachal Eson. So how can you learn that from that I'm going to learn that the birds, the Mitzora birds, become Asr Mishas Lekicha from the fact that Egla Arufa becomes Aser at some earlier stage? Kicha Kicha, Egla Arufa does not become Aser Mishas Lekicha. Egla Arufa, yes, earlier than Arifa, but not Shas Lekicha, it's Yerida L'Nachal Eson. So Rashi explains that because by Egla Arufa, there is another thing that you do prior to the Arifa after the Lekicha. So the Chum say, so that's, you know, it's the Yerida L'Nachal Eson. So therefore, we can say that the Yisr is Chal there. But the Tzipori Mitzora, there's nothing else that happens between the Lekicha and the Shechita. So if you can say that it's not at the Shas Shechita, the previous point of time where you can say that something is going on is the Shas Lekicha. So that's the Ikar Limud. The Ikar Limud is that it's not at the end of the process. It's one step before the end of the process. So one step before the end of the process, by Egla Rufa means Yerida L'Nachal Eson, and by Tzipori Mitzora means Shas Lekicha. Okay, now back to Mishnah relating to Osov Espino. Shnayim Shalachu Para Ubina. If let's say you have two people that buy from the same salesman, a cow and its offspring. So and they both want to shecht it on the day of purchase. So Eza Shalakach Rishon Yishchot Rishon. The rights of Shechita for that day go to whoever the first buyer was. But if the second guy goes and he shechts it first, it's not nice. He shouldn't have done that, but he gets to eat his behema. There's no recourse for the other party. Now, if you buy from two different people, so the Rush points out, then there is no kedima, meaning you don't look at time of purchase. You don't check the receipts and look at time of purchase of who bought first. If they were bought from two different people, then there is no kedima. Whoever happens to shecht it first lucked out, and the other guy didn't. The Bach writes that, so what do you do in such a case if they both come and they say, we want to shecht it on the same day? So the Bach in Yerodeh Simit HaZayin writes that the Beis Din should arrange a Goral Beinehem to figure out a way to come to some resolution. The Taz says, no, Beis Din should not get involved, meaning there is no din over here, so Beis Din should let them figure it out. This is not something that Beis Din should be getting involved in. Okay, but the point is that there's no kedima in such a case. Now, if the reason that Rashi explains that the guy who buys it first has the right to do the shechita that day is because, let's say, the mocher would not have sold the second animal. He would have kept the second animal. Would he have the right to shecht the one that he kept, the one that he didn't sell? So the answer is no, because when you sell an animal, you're shechting the right to do whatever you can with it. So I'm selling you an animal. There's an understanding that you may very well want to shecht it that day, and I'm therefore giving you the right to shecht it that day. So from the moment I sold the first one, I lost the right to shecht the second one today. And I'm only allowed to sell the rights that I have in an animal. So when I sell the second one, I can't sell you the right to shecht it that day because I don't have the right to shecht it that day. That is how Rashi understands. The Piskei Rid writes, and therefore it's usher for the second guy to shecht it, even if he doesn't know that the first guy bought it that day. It's just that the second guy needs it for that day, and the mocher doesn't tell him that he sold the first one. It's a mekach tolos, meaning it could be that if the second guy says, yeah, I'm making a chasana tonight, I need to shecht this animal right away, and the mocher didn't tell him, oh, by the way, I sold its mother today, so the second guy can come and say mekach tolos, meaning I bought it to shecht it today. It's not helpful to me if I'm not allowed to shecht it today. Okay, so the Amar of Yosef, the Inyan Dina Tanan. Our Mishnah is saying Legabe Dina Mamnas, that if the first and second guy want to shecht the animal that day, and the other one says, I need it more than you, and they come to Beis Din, so that's what we say, that the first guy has the right to shecht it. But it doesn't mean the Inyan Isser, that to tell me that the first guy who buys it has to shecht it that day. No, if the second guy wants to shecht that day, and the first guy wants to wait, that's perfectly fine. There's no requirement. The whole thing is about dinei mamonos, if they're in an argument about who gets the rights to shecht it that day. So the Mishnah says, whoever bought it first. So Tana im kadam asheni areza zoriz viniskar. The Braisa says, and if the second guy goes and he shechts it first, he's a zoriz viniskar. What do you mean zoriz viniskar? The zoriz, the law of isura. First of all, that he didn't violate an isra vosav espino, because he got there first, meaning he shechted his animal first, so therefore it's not a violation of Osav Espino. V'niskar de kachal bisra, and he's niskar because he's allowed to eat the meat that day. So the Rishonim, the Achronim rather, are all bothered. You're going to call this guy a Zariz V'niskar? We just said a din in the Mishnah. The din in the Mishnah is he doesn't have the right to shecht it. The other guy has the right to shecht it. So we're going to say, what a brilliant move. A brilliant, we don't admire these things. He did wrong. How can you say that he's a Zariz, and also he's a Zariz, how can you say that he's a Zariz, that he avoided a Safek Isser? He was Gozel Schavero. He avoided a Safek Isser. He did a Vada Isser. He stole the right that somebody else had. So that's not a Zariz Viniskar. So a number of the Achronim say that the Brises must be talking about a case where the first guy never said he wanted a Shechta that day. So then you don't have to be Choshesh Minastam, that whoever's buying an animal is going to shecht it that day. In fact, we have a Mishnah like that, that there are four times a year where you have to assume that someone's buying an animal, plans on shechting it that day, times that happen to be very busy about eating meat. But otherwise, you don't have to assume that a person's buying an animal is necessarily going to shecht it that day. So that must be the case of the Zoriz Viniskar with the second fellow. Okay, so says the Mishnah, shechet parva acharkach shnei boneha. Let's say you shecht the mother, and then you shecht two offspring, two separate offspring. Sofek shmonim, you get 80 Malkios, two times Malkios, because the Yisra Vosav Espino is violated when you shecht the first of the two offspring, and then again when you shecht the second of the two offspring. But shechet shnei benel, let's say you shecht the siblings, v'acharkach shchata, and then you shecht the mother, sofik esarbaim, then you get 40 malkios, because the shechita of the two siblings was not an isser at all. The isser is only with the shechita sa'im, and that was only one maisa isser, and mainly you're only going to be chayiv one malkos. Now what about another example of shechting three family members, shechata ve'ezbita ve'ezbasbita. What if you shecht three generations in the same family? So sufik shmonim, if you do it in that order, generation one, generation two, generation three, you get evi malchus, one for generation two and the other one for generation three. Shechata ve'ezbasbita. What if you do generation one and then generation three? V'achar kach shachat bita. And then you shecht generation two. So now we have machlokes. Sufik es harboim, Tanakama says it's 40 malchus, it's just one shechita that was the maisa iser. So even though it violated osov es beno, and it also violated benova osov, but it was one shechita, so you get one malchus, and some mishum rameir, sovik shmonim, that you get 80 malchus, you get two separate chiyuvim of malchus, because you violated two separate isurim when you shech that middle generation. So we see in the Mishnah that the iser to shech osov es beno goes in either direction. It's osov es beno or benova oso. Amai, why is it that if you shecht the ben first and then oso, that you're chayiv osov es beno amarachman velo benova oso? After all, doesn't the Torah say that the Yisra is osov es beno and not in the reverse? Says the Gemara, lo salkadaitach, you cannot think that it only goes one direction, titanya, because the Braisa tells us osov es beno ein li ela osov es beno. I would only know from the simple reading of the pasuk that it goes in that direction, parent generation, then child generation. Osova es imo minayin. How do I know that it goes in the other direction as well? That even if you start with the child generation and then go up to the parent. Suk shuomer, when the pasuk says lo sishchatu in the lashon of rabim, harei ken shnayim, must be that it's telling me that there the Torah asers two people from shechting. Haketzad, how can the so what's the case? The shechita of the rishon is always a heter. It's only the second one that's the iser. So how come the Torah says lo shishchatu, which makes it sound like both shochtim are in violation of the iser? The first sheichit was shechting a perfectly good animal that was not any iser. So echad shochet es hapara ve'echad shochet es ima ve'echad shochet es bina shnayim achronim chayavin. So it must be talking about a case of three generations and therefore the one shechts the para, meaning the middle generation. One shechts the generation one, and one shechts generation three. So the one that shechts the generation one and generation three are both going to be chayiv, even though the one that shechts the generation one is violating benovo so, right? He's not violating osov es beno. So you see that it's muchach in the pasuk that way. So ask the Gemara, how can you learn from the fact that it says lo sishchatu that the Torah asers benovo oso? Haimi bayle legufei. Don't you need it to tell me the ikar iser of shechitas osov es beno? No, I would have learned Osov Espino from Lashon Yachid to tell me Osov the Espino Lo Sishchot, that once you shechted Osov, or once somebody shechted Osov, you're not allowed to shecht Bino. Why does it have it in the plural? It must be that it's in Lashon Rabbim to tell me this din that it goes in both directions. But says Mervakati mi Bayle, but I still need that pasuk. Dikas Rachman Lo Sishchot, had it said it in the singular, Havamina Chad in Treylo, I would have thought that's only if the same guy is the shochet for both animals. But if you have two separate shochtim, then even the second guy is not going to be chayiv, because what does he have to do with the shechita of the first animal? So kas v'rachmanu lo sishchatu in the plural v'afilu trei, to tell me that even in the case of a classic case of oso v'es beno, but Reuven shechted oso and Shimon shechted beno, that Shimon's going to be chayiv. I would have thought Shimon would be potter. So that's why I need those sishchatu. So says Gemara, imke lichtov lo yishchat. Let it say lo yishchatu, that they shouldn't be shechted, and it wouldn't matter who the shochet is. My lo tishchatu, which makes it sound like the two shochtim did an iser, not that the iser is violated by one shochet, even though two separate shochtim shechted the animals, but that two separate shochtim violated an iser. Shema minatarti. So that's how you see both of these dinim. Both the din that if Reuven shechted animal one, Shimon shechted animal two, that Shimon's going to be chayiv, and the din that if there's three generations, you're going to have two separate chiyuvim. So that it's benova oso as well. Fine. So the Mishnah says shchata ve'esbas bita, that if you shecht the generation one, generation three, and then you shecht generation two, so the Tanakama says you only get 40 malchios, and Simcha says you get, in the name of Rav Meir, that you get 80 malchios, two times malchus. So I'm like, by the Rav Yosef, my time with the Simchus, what's the basis of Simchus that you chayv twice malchus? So the kasavra Simchus, is it that Sumchus holds that if you eat two kezesim of chaylev bishogeg, that you didn't know that it was chaylev, and you do it behelem echad, you only find out after eating a whole lunch of chaylev that what you ate in fact was chaylev, so you have two separate kabbarnos chatos, because for each kezais you have a separate kabbarnos chatos, and if you were to do it b'mezidu b'asra'a, you'd be chayv shtei malkios, so therefore when you shecht the bas, you're chayv shtei malkios, when you shecht generation two, you chayv shtei malkios, because by shechting generation two, you're violating two isurim, the shechita of osov es beno, and the shechita of benova oso, and even though it's only one maisa and one hasra'a, so bedinu delashmin and balma. And if that's the case, that's what Simchas holds, that when you eat shnei kezeis echelev behelem echad, that you chayiv twice. Really, he could have told me this about any halacha. Whenever you're doing multiple isurim in one maisa, like in the case of eating shnei zeis echelev, which is normally the go-to iser when we try to describe violating something, violating an iser, and that would have been even greater chiddush, because even though it's not shnei gufim, Simchas is chayv twice with a single asra'a and with a single or with a single shogeg, whereas shchita osov espino, the two isurim come on account of two separate physical entities. It's the generation one and that generates isur number one on generation two, and generation three is what creates a second isur on generation two. Vayde kamashmal Baha, and the whole reason that Simchas is telling us this din, dafka by Yosef Espino, this din that there are multiple chiyuvim, is lo diachal kochen drabbanon, dafka av dukufen mechakon patri rabbanon. It's to highlight that the rabbanon are going to say you're only chaya 40 and not 80, even in a case where the two isurim come on account of two separate gufim, two separate physical beings. So that's one way to understand Simchas. So again, we're asking, what is the lumdus of Simchas? Why does Simchas hold that you chayev two malchios over here? So one possibility is that this is a klal that would apply to all isurim. It would apply to shnei zeisei chaylev just the same. That if a person eats shnei zeisei chaylev in helem echad, he's going to be chayev multiple as well. Oh, Dilma, or maybe there's another way to understand Simchas. No, if you were to eat shnei kezesim of chaylev without realizing in between what you had done, you would only be chayiv one chatas. Aye, why then are you chayiv twice for osov espino and benov oso? Hold the gufen mechlakin. Over here, it's because the two separate chiyuvim are generated by two separate bodies, by two separate beings. Generation one creates an Isser of Osov Espino on generation two, and generation three creates an Isser of Bino Voso on generation two. So Malay, so Rav Yosef says to Abaye, in. It's like the first tzad of what we said, that kasavar achal shnei zeisichel bel mechad chayv shtei chatos. Simchas in fact holds that when you eat shnei zeisichelav bishogig in one helim, you're chayv two kabbarnos chatos, even though they're not gufam mechlakim. Each kezayis is an achilus iser in its own right, and you're chayv kabbarn chatos for each of them. So now the Gemara says, okay, how do you know that? Meaning we had a suffix. What's the lumdus of Simchas? And you just say with confidence that Simchas holds that you chayv shtei malchios even when they're not gufa mechlakim. Who said? How do you know that Simchas holds that? Where do we find that Simchas holds that? So the Gemara between now and the Mishnah on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph is going to have three possibilities of where we find that Simchas holds such a thing. So Mimai, how do I know that Simchas holds that you chayv twice, even though the two isurim do not come on account of shnei gufim? So first possibility is midetnan. It's from a brisa, mishnah, or a brisa in the Tosfos. The Ramban pointed out it's a brisa, so that's why they changed the girsa to midetanya, not midetnan. But the bottom line is it's from a din by klayim. Hazareya klayim loka. If one plants klayim, he gets malchus. So my loka, what do you mean he gets malchus? Im le maloka achas. If you tell me that you get one malchus for planting klayim, pshita, of course you get malchus for planting klayim. You violated los haseh min haTorah with the mice and everything. Why wouldn't you get malchus? Va'od my klayim. And also, if it's just talking about a regular case of planting klayim, why would you say klayim, right? That seems extra. El pshita shte malchus. So it must be that it's saying that if you plant klayim, you get two malchus. Well, what's the case? B'maya skinan. What do we mean? You planted klayim. Ilem abazeh acharzeh. If we're talking about that, you violated two separate isurim of planting klayim v'shtei asraos with a separate asra for each one. Someone warns you, don't plant that, and then you're going to get malchus. And then you plant it, and then before you do your next planting, they say, don't plant that, or you're going to get malchus. Well, tanina, that we know, that's a davar pashut that you can get two malchus for such a thing. That's a mishnah that appears in the third parak of Makos and Maseches Nazir as well. That nazir shows a yayin kol hayom. If you have a nazir who's drinking wine all day long, say inu chayiv ala achas. He was just going on one binge drinking all day long, so he's only going to be chayiv once. But amru lo al tishte v'hushose. But if before each drink he has, someone goes and gives him an asra not to do it, and he does it anyway, chayiv al kol achas v'achas. Then you're going to be chayiv for each one separately, because you got a separate asra for each maisa. So obviously the same is true about klayim. So what's the chiddush of someone who plants klayim being chayiv multiple malchios? Ela pshita bebas achas ubasra achas. It must be that we're talking about where he planted all at one time and it was with one hasra'a, that they warn him that if you plant these two zrios, you're going to be chayiv shtayim. And the braisa tells us that even though he does it all at one time and it was all with one hasra'a, he's going to be chayiv shtayim. So this braisa is being brought to prove to us that sumchus holds you can be chayiv twice, even if it's not gufim muchlakim. So now we know that the braisa was talking about being chayiv two malchios on a repeat iser at one time with one hasra'a. But how do I know it's sumchus? Who said that this relates to sumchus? So money. Who else could be the author of this braisa? If it's the chachamim in our mishnah that hold that you're only chayiv one malchus when you shach generation one, generation three, followed by generation two, well, hashto mahasim degufin mechalkin patri rabbanon. If the rabbanon say you're only going to be chayiv one malchus, even though the two isurim come on account of separate gufin, so hacha when it comes to klayim, where it's where there is no chilik gufim among the two klayims that you planted, so lo kolshken. All the more so, you're only going to be chayiv achas. So who holds you chayiv shtayim? Elav sumchusi. You see that it must be that it's going like sumchus. So you see that it's not only by Yosef Espino, where the isurim are generated by guf and mechlakim, even when it comes to planting klayim, where it's guf echad, sumchus still holds that you can be chayiv shtayim. So that's raya number one, that sumchus holds you chayiv shtayim, even by guf echad. Says Gemara, lo, bad raya. Li'olam rabbanan, because maybe it's even going like the rabbanan who say in our case you only chayiv once, but by the klayim they hold you're going to be chayiv twice. So and when it's, I'm sorry, that by the klayim you're going to, the braisa about the klayim is going like the rabbanan, and the reason you chayiv twice by the klayim is because you got shtei asraos. It wasn't one asra'a. We asked if it was shtei asraos, what's the chiddush? We know if you tell the nazir multiple times not to drink wine, he's chayiv multiple times. So what's the chiddush? It's telling us a different chiddush, dika tre gavni klayim, that there are two types of klayim. When you plant a chita chart and a chart and shalanavim, and then you plant a saora and a chart and shalanavim, that you chayiv for both of them. Mafuke mid Rabbi Yoshia, and that's against Rabbi Yoshia. Dam Rabbi Yoshia, ad shizu chitu sor v'chart v'mapolus yad. Rabbi Yoshia holds, in order to violate kilei akerem, it's not that you plant two minim, it's that you plant three minim. Grapes plus two other minim. So kamash mulan, that's the chiddush of the braisa. Dechizara chita v'chartzan, usa'ora v'chartzan, nami m'chayiv, that you chayiv shtayim, one for chita v'chartzan, and the other for sa'ora v'chartzan. So it's a particular din in dine klayim that's teaching us over there. It's not a klolistic din in how many malchios you chayiv that the braisa about klayim was trying to teach. And therefore it could be going even like the Rabbanan, and yes, from a malchus perspective, perspective, how many asraos you need, there's no chiddush over there. It's multiple asraos, multiple maisim, so of course you can be chayiv multiple malkios. The chiddush over there is that this is separate isurim, that chita, saora, and gefen together is not one isur, it's two isurim. So Tashma says, well, let's bring another raya that Simchas in fact holds, that you're chayiv shtayim even when it's guf achas. Achal mizek hazayis u mizek hazayis. If a person, if a behema has two gidim, and you eat one gid, a kazayis from one gid, and then a kazayis from the other gid, sofik shmonim, you get 80 malkios. Rabbi Yudom and sofik al arbam. Rabbi Yudom says you only get 40 malkios because only one of the gidim is actually aser. Well, hechidami, ilim, abizachar, zabashtay asraos. If you ate them one after the other and you got separate asraos, my time is Rabbi Yudom. Why does Rabbi Yudom the only chayiv achas? It's according to Rabbi Yudom, it's a sofik which one is aser. So asra sofik he. If you got a hasra for this one, and I don't know if this is the asr gid, and then you ate it, so that's asra sofik. Then you get asra for the other one, and I don't know if that's the one that's asr and you ate it, it's also asra sofik. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that's not a hasra. Titania, hika zev, chazv, hika zev. You don't know which guy is your father, and you hit one, and then you hit the other. Kila zev, chazv, kila zev. Oshika shneim bebasachas, oshikil shneim bebasachas. Chayiv, you're chayiv misa. Rabbi Yehuda omer, bebasachas chayiv. No, if you're in both at the same time, you could be chayiv, because then you got asra and you for sure violated the isra in that moment. But zachar zeh pater. But if you get separate asras for the two separate guys, then you're going to be pater, because each one is asra safek. El pshita bebas achas b'sra achas. So it must be that the shnei gidim case is that you ate them both at once and it was one asra. So man tanakama, who's the tanakama that says that you get two malkios on the shnei gidim? Ilim rabbanon de pligeli de sumchus. If it's the rabbanon who disagree with the sumchus, hashtu ma'hasam to gufin mechlakin patri rabbanon. If in the case of Osov Espino, where it's separate gufin, the rabbanon say you're not chayiv twice, hachalo kolshkein. So for sure over here, by the gid anashi, you should not be chayiv twice, because it all comes from the same animal. Elulav sumchus. It must be that it's sumchus, and sumchus holds that you're chayiv twice for gufin, even though it's not gufin mechlakin. So look, liolam bezachar zev rabbanon. Really, it's bezachar zev. We're going like the rabbanon. The haytan is savalaki dachtan of Rabbi Yudom Rasra Savik Shema Hasra. But this Tana holds that Asra Safik is in fact Shema Hasra. The Tanya, where does he, Rabbi Yudah, say that? That you can't leave no sir, but and then there's you're supposed to burn it if you do. Rabbi Yudah says the reason you don't get Malkus is because there's a lav anita klasei. Rabbi Yaakov Amlomin Hashem Azel Mishum Tahavilei Lav Shein Bomaisa. They don't get Malkus because it's just leaving something over. It's Lav Shein Bomaisa. V'kol Lav Shein Bomaisa Lokin Lav. And you don't get Malkus Lav Shein Bomaisa. But you see, no one says you don't get Malkus because it's Asra Safek. It must be that Asra Safek would warrant a Malkus, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Be'ez Hashem later tonight at 7:30, we'll pick up with the third possible source of how we know that Simchas holds that even when it's a guf echad, you chayiv shnei malkios.